ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So in this session we will discuss a very brief summary of the first six cantos. What we are going to study for the next 2 years, we will discuss in 2 hours now. So, the purpose of this kind of overview classes is that it gives us a very quick summary, or it takes us through a very vast scripture or a book within short time, giving us a bird's eye view of the session. It's connected. So I was just saying it gives a bird's eye view of a big subject matter within a short time. So that way it is very helpful. Not coming? Okay. Bhagavatam is like an ocean. An ocean is very deep, definitely. And it's very, expanding from one shore to another shore, which is like several square kilometers area, whatever. So in this kind of overview sessions, we'll see the expanse of Bhagavatam, not the depth of Bhagavatam. In our regular classes, to some extent we can see the depth of Bhagavatam, but in this overview classes we will see the expanse. And when we go into finer details in our regular classes or general study, so we may be going deep into that one particular topic. But the context of the topic we need to see from a bird's eye view, right? So the flow and the chronology of the contents of Bhagavatam we can see within this overview. And the links between different sections and different chapters also we can see. How one pastime is connected with another pastime. For example, we are discussing Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. We'll go deep into Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. But in what context in Bhagavatam that Dhruva Maharaj's pastime is coming? Right? Before Dhruva Maharaj comes Daksha episode. After Dhruva Maharaj comes Prithu Maharaj episode. So how come suddenly this? Are there some discrete stories kept, or is there any connection between these different episodes? All that we can see now. And when we see the overview of this Bhagavatam, several concepts are repeated, right? That repetition shows emphasis. So what concepts are repeated, right? What philosophical points are repeatedly stressed? That also we can see in this overview classes. And within a regular class, we may discuss about one or two characters only. But in the entire Bhagavatam, who are the different characters appearing? All characters we can see now. All concepts we can see now. Like that. In short. Like that. So this morning we discussed about how Prabhupada presented this. So these are the first three verses that act as prelude to the entire Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasayataha, then Dharma Projita Kaita Vatraparamu, then Nigamakalpataror Galitam Phalam. This morning we have seen them briefly, and this tomorrow also we will go deep into these three verses. Right, maybe a couple of hours we'll spend on three verses only, and maybe 1 hour for the rest of the chapter. So tomorrow. So after these three verses, the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto, that describes the scene, setting the scene. So Savanakadi rishis assembled at a place called Naimisharanya, Naimishe Nimikshakshetri. They have assembled there to perform some yajna. So in that context, they offered a seat to Suta Goswami and asked him several questions, right? So from this first section episode, we see how the speaker of Bhagavatam is offered respect, right? That we can very nicely see in the first, very first episode. So entire the rest of Bhagavatam is a conversation between Suta Goswami and Savanakadi rishis, right? So first we'll enter the first canto. So the first canto is setting the stage for the entire Bhagavatam. So when, for example, a movie is shown, right? So before we enter the movie, we have some titles. Who are all the different characters in this movie? Who are the actors, right? And some in some advertisement or whatever of the movie. So we have the highlights, right? Important whatever fighting scenes, action scenes, or movie, or songs, or whatever they are shown. So this first canto is like setting the stage for the entire text. So it gives us, it introduces us to the important concepts of Bhagavatam, the history of Bhagavatam, and the characters of Bhagavatam, and the backstories of the important characters of Bhagavatam. Right? So for example, in this first canto, how this Bhagavatam appeared. Right? The history is described through the conversation between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. And different concepts of bhakti, Bhagavan, Bhagavatam, then bhakta, all are described in the first three chapters very nicely. Right? The concept of devotional service, how one progresses in the path of devotional service, all these are described. And the important characters of this entire text, which are Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, right, Krishna. So all these important characters of Bhagavatam are introduced in the first canto. Right? We have in the very first chapters the background of the sages of Naimisharanya, the background of Suta Goswami, and the background of Sukadeva Goswami. They are all described. Right? What all they went through. So these sages ask six questions to Suta Goswami in the first chapter. Right? So in response to those six questions, Sukadeva Goswami first offers obeisances to Suta Goswami, asks all the sages asked questions to Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami offered obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami. Yasvanu bhavam akhila shruti saramekam. Tam vyasa sonam apayami gurum muninam. Morning we discussed. So Sukadeva Goswami is like the spiritual master of all sages. I offer my obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami and then describe this Bhagavatam, and thus I answer your six questions. So like that he began. So the six questions are, sages ask, these six questions are this, and the answers are the subject matter of first three chapters of first canto. So the first question is, what is the ultimate good of people in general? So Sukadeva Goswami answers, bhakti. Then second question is, what is the essence of all scriptures? Answer is bhakti. He explains this in that in the second chapter. And after giving the answer that bhakti is the essence of all scriptures and the ultimate good for entire humanity, he elaborates on how one progresses in the path of bhakti. Right? Then the third question is, for what purpose did Krishna appear as son of Vasudeva and Devaki? Answer is, to reclaim the people in mode of goodness. To reclaim the souls, he would appear. Then fourth question is, please describe about Purushavataras. Then Suta Goswami very briefly discusses the activities of the first Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu. Then second Purusha incarnation, Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. Then third Purusha incarnation, Kshirodaksaya Vishnu. Then fifth question is about Leela Avataras. So Suta Goswami answers by describing the activities of 22 Leela Avataras in the third chapter. Then at the end he says, Krishna is the fountainhead of all these incarnations. Not only 22, there are millions of incarnations of Krishna. Just like one cannot count the ripples on a river, similarly one cannot count the number of incarnations of Krishna. Krishna is the fountainhead. That's how he ends. Then the sixth question is, where did Dharma take shelter after Krishna's disappearance? Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the subject matter of the first three chapters of Bhagavatam. So these six questions describe the process of bhakti. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaji. Then what are the stages of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema? So all these are discussed. Bhagavan ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam, and his expansions and how he is the source of all expansions. So the concept of Bhagavan is mentioned. Then concept, the scripture Bhagavatam is also glorified. Krishna swadhama pagate dharma gnana adibhisaha, how it is a substitute for Bhagavan. All these are mentioned in these first six chapters. Next, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, the Saunakadi rishis ask three more seed questions. Right? So one is about the history of Bhagavatam. After knowing that, oh, Bhagavatam is the shelter of Dharma after Krishna's disappearance, so I want to know the history of Bhagavatam. Right? Who spoke it to whom? And how did it come into existence? How did Vyasadeva get the inspiration to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam? So that is the history of Bhagavatam. And they also ask about the history of Parikshit Maharaj. How did he leave the kingdom and then enter into this mode of hearing Bhagavatam for 7 days and seven nights? What was the background? Then I want to know also about the history of Sukadeva Goswami. Right? So how was he received at Hastinapur? How did the meeting between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj take place? Right, these were the questions, the seed questions asked by Saunakadi rishis in the beginning of the fourth chapter of first canto. The answer to these three questions or four questions constitute the rest of first canto. So first, he discusses about the meaning meeting between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. Morning also we discussed. So Vyasadeva was despondent in spite of writing so much of Vedic literature. Still, he was despondent. Then Narada Muni comes and instructs him that you should directly glorify Lord. You have given overemphasis to these four purusharthas. You have not sufficiently glorified the Lord. So you must glorify. Then he compiles Bhagavatam. So this once again establishes the supremacy of Bhagavatam. Then Narada Muni describes his past life. So that how this process of bhakti is very supreme and important. His personal experience also, his success story, he shares. I was the son of a maid servant and I was serving some Bhakti Vedantis. So because of their mercy, because of taking their prasadam, because of taking their instructions, because of hearing from them, I progressed in bhakti and eventually became Narada Muni. Right? So he got one darshan of the Lord and Lord said, to increase your hankering for me, to intensify your devotional service, I am not going to show you any more darshans. Perform bhakti. So he followed instructions of the Lord. And then in the next kalpa, when Brahmaji was doing creation, Narada Muni again came into being in his spiritual body. So that is Narada Muni's story. So Vyasadeva was inspired. So he contemplated. In the 7th chapter, beginning 10 verses describe this. So he contemplated and then he saw Maya in his vision. He saw Krishna in his vision. And people are suffering because of their senses. So they, because they didn't know that bhakti is the solution for all their miseries, that's why he has compiled Bhagavatam. Then he taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. Right? So that is the prelude or the history of Bhagavatam and the backstory of Narada Muni and backstory of Vyasadeva. So that is till the 10th verse of 7th chapter. Then from 11th verse onwards, Suta Goswami begins about Parikshit Maharaj. Another question they ask about Parikshit Maharaj, right? So first he begins with birth of Parikshit Maharaj. So before giving the topic of birth of Parikshit Maharaj, he describes what all has happened before the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. Actually, Ashwatthama killed the sleeping sons of Pandavas, right? Then Arjuna went and captured this Ashwatthama, and there were different arguments. Draupadi says, forgive him. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj also supports her. Then Bhima says, no, you have to kill him. Right? So finally, because of the inspiration given by Krishna, Arjuna just takes out the jewel of Ashwatthama and then releases him. So Ashwatthama releases Brahmastra, right, to kill the last descendant of this Pandava dynasty, that is Parikshit Maharaj, who was within the womb of Uttara at that time. So he releases Brahmastra, and Krishna, after this whole episode, he was about to leave. Then Uttara just runs coming, right, coming like in a very anxious mood, seeking protection. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. So please, Pahi, Pahi, Mam. Right? So you are the only protector. Please protect me. Some Brahmastra is coming. Some weapon is coming, trying to devour my son. Then Krishna goes within the womb of Uttara and protects Parikshit Maharaj. Right? Angushta Matra Mamalam, Spurat Purita Maulinam. So like that. Then Kunti Maharani offers such heartfelt prayers. So this episode describes how Krishna is the ultimate protector and how a pure devotee completely depends on Krishna only. Right? Kunti Maharani's prayers reflect her dependence, reflect the dependence of Pandavas. Then after Kunti Maharani offered prayers, then Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much aggrieved. Because of me, because of my desire to sit on the throne, so many people were killed, right? So I am responsible for all this, right? I am very sinful. None of the sacrifices and other atonement processes can protect me from the sinful reactions. He was very much aggrieved. Even Krishna could not convince him. Even Vyasadeva could not convince him. So many other great souls and rishis tried, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is not getting convinced. This is all Krishna's orchestration, so that ultimately Bhishma Dev gets the credit of convincing Yudhishthira Maharaj. So all of them go to the battlefield where Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows. Then Bhishma Dev was very satisfied to see all the Pandavas appearing very royally. Finally they got their kingdom, and then there was conversation between Bhishma and Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he gives a lot of instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj on Raja Dharma, then all many various other dharmas. Then Bhishma Dev offers prayers to Lord Krishna and then departs in the presence of so many great souls. So the glory of surrendered devotee is once again established in this ninth chapter, and the extent to which Krishna reciprocates, right, that is also shown. So Krishna was unable to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj, but Bhishma Dev could convince. So Krishna wanted to give that glory to Bhishma. So after this, Krishna departs. Krishna goes from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. So at that time, all the Hastinapur Vasis were feeling separation. So Krishna is leaving us, right? They were like totally immersed in the feelings of separation. So that is Vipralambha. Then slowly Krishna goes from Hastinapur and enters Dwaraka, right? Then that is Sambhoga, right? All the devotees of Dwaraka were very happy to receive Krishna back. So first canto itself is introducing us to this great feelings of devotees, Vipralamba and Sambhoga, union and separation with the Lord. So after this, in the 12th chapter, this Parikshit's birth was described, right? How Yudhishthira Maharaj sets a very perfect example of a Krishna conscious ruler, right? That is very nicely described. And in the 13th chapter, after Parikshit Maharaj's birth, and then he was growing slowly, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj also performs some yajnas under the direction of Krishna. They get wealth from a king called Marutta. So there's a lot of wealth lying there in dustbins, right? There was a sacrifice conducted. So Marutta gave profuse amount of charity in the form of gold plates and many other things to Brahmanas. Brahmanas were satisfied. They didn't know what to do with it. They just threw all these gold plates in dustbins. So Arjuna went and collected all of them. Then they did sacrifice. So after this, Vidura was actually banished by our Duryodhan. Right, you get out. You cannot stay in our kingdom. So before the war only. So he was going on pilgrimage. Then he went to Maitreya Rishi and heard two cantos of Bhagavatam. Third canto and fourth canto, right? So when he was relieved of all these political services, he got an opportunity to hear, you know, Bhagavatam. So then he got so inspired by hearing Maitreya Muni, he couldn't continue to hear more, right? After hearing how Narada Muni delivered Prachina Barhi, who was absorbed in this karmakandic activities. So he got so excited. So one, I have another fellow, Dhritarashtra, my brother. He was also absorbed in this materialistic activities. Let me go and deliver him. So he just ran. That is 13th chapter. So he came, enlightened Dhritarashtra. It was very heavy class to Dhritarashtra. And then finally, Dhritarashtra leaves home and Gandhari follows him. And Vidura was happy to hear this and then he also leaves. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj gets aggrieved. Then Narada Muni meets Yudhishthira Maharaj and says, don't worry. So your uncle, aunt, they are on the path of liberation. So don't worry about them. So you just continue ruling till Krishna gives an indication. He just gives that hint and then leaves. Then, to know the next program of Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj sends Arjuna. You go to Dwarka and then find out what Krishna is planning next. So meanwhile, several months passed, Arjuna did not return. So meanwhile, Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing so many symptoms in the atmosphere. Right? There were very unusual symptoms. There are actually symptoms of Kali Yuga coming. So he was discussing with Bhima and then he was speculating what could have happened. All that he was speculating and then suddenly Arjuna comes. Arjuna comes in such a dejected face. Right? He was in a very morose mood. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj asks him so many questions. Right? What happened? Why are you morose? And several questions he asks. Actually, Narada Muni hinted, Yudhishthira Maharaj is such a very exalted personality and very intelligent person. He can easily understand that Krishna departed. Although his intelligence could understand that Krishna left this world, his heart could not accept that point. His heart could not accept that fact that how can Krishna leave us? That's why he was asking so many questions. And finally, he asked one question to Arjuna. Did Krishna disappear? That's why you are so dejected? He asks like that. Then Arjuna reveals the whole thing, how Krishna departed, how this Moshali Lila happened. In very brief, he explains. And then he also expresses his feelings of separation. That yascha kshana vyogena loko hya priyadarshanah uktena rahito hyesha mritakah prochyate yatha. So Arjuna, after hearing all this, that Krishna departed, so Pandavas plan their retirement. Then slowly, one by one, all of them retire. So, devotee's detachment to this worldly opulence and devotee's attachment to Lord Krishna, that is revealed in this episode. Then Sukadeva Goswami describes about Parikshit Maharaj's rule and how he was chastising Kali and all. So, our Parikshit Maharaj took charge of the kingdom and then he was traveling. So, one day he sees one Sudra. So, he was dressed like a king. And then he was troubling this cow and bull. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj lifts his sword to punish Kali. Then Kali surrenders, very ironically. Then he says, I want your shelter. Then discussion happens and then finally he was given places to stay. Right? Where these four regulative principles are broken, those places Kali can stay. Then Kali says, this will not happen in your kingdom. Right, how can I stay? You made me residenceless. Then he says, where there is gold, you can stay. Like that. So, Kali was given some place to stay. So, it is inevitable course of ages because Dwapara Yuga ended and then Kali Yuga has to begin. So, the time factor has to move forward. Right? Summer ended, monsoon has to start. Like that. You can't just stop, delay monsoon for a long time. So Kali has to start. So one day Parikshit Maharaj was going out for a in the forest. Then he felt very thirsty. The personality who could tolerate the heat of Brahmastra within the womb, he could not tolerate the urge to have a glass of water. Right? This is also very surprising. That shows it is the will of Lord. Right? Krishna is personally orchestrating all these incidents in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj was very thirsty. He went to the ashram of Shamika Rishi and then he was absorbed in his meditation. And then because he did not get proper response, Parikshit Maharaj took a dead snake and then put it around the neck of Shamika Rishi. Then this his son, small child, so he came to know that someone has, some king has insulted my father, right, Sringi. So he was playing with his other boy friends, and then he cursed whoever has done it, that he will die in 7 days by the bite of a bird. So then Swami Krishi came to know this, and then he felt very morose, right? How come you have cursed a king like that, right? So he also felt morose, and then he had sent his disciple Gauramukha. So you go and communicate this message to Parikshit Maharaj so that he can take care. In 7 days he is about to die, so he can take care. Then Parikshit Maharaj was told about this. Then Parikshit Maharaj, on the way back to his kingdom, and after he went back to his kingdom also, he was desiring a calamity, and he was expecting a calamity. Because I have misbehaved with a brahmana, some punishment should come upon me. He was expecting is one way, and he is desiring also. There must be some problem to me. There must be some calamity that is happening to me, that is supposed to happen to me. Then only I will be protected from not committing this kind of offenses again. Right? And my descendants will also be protected. They should not be in trouble because of my mistake. So he was desiring that kind of calamity. So while he was thinking like this, Gauramukha comes and explains to him, so you are cursed like this, take care. Then Parikshit Maharaj didn't even think that I have to go and beg forgiveness from Swami Krishi. Right? Because the message was communicated to Parikshit Maharaj with such regret. So he did not want to further embarrass Swami Krishi. He knows that Swami Krishi was also feeling sorry that I am cursed like this. So I should not unnecessarily go and beg forgiveness. And I never wanted a relief from this curse. If a brahmana curses me like this, I welcome that curse. So he just gave the charge of his kingdom to his descendants, and then he left everything and then went on the bank of Ganga and then sat there. And so many sages assembled as if they were invited. So there was no announcement made, there were no common mail sent, right? There is no website announcement or anything. All of the sages came there, right? So all the sages came, and Parikshit Maharaj says, Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu. So even if I have to take birth again, I want association of devotees. I want friendship with all devotees, right? And I want to have devotional service for Krishna. Right? Ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu. Mahatsuyamyam upayami srishnam maitriyastu sarvatra namodvijayabhyaha. Like that. So then, as if called for, Sukadeva Goswami comes. Right? When Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live, Sukadeva Goswami just enters the scene. Right? So unanimously all the sages agree that Sukadeva Goswami has to speak to Parikshit Maharaj. Then Parikshit Maharaj sits on the seat, and then he started speaking Bhagavatam. So that shows realization is more important than age. Although so many experienced devotees are there, this young person, Sukadeva Goswami, was given the opportunity to speak. Right? Katha to Parikshit Maharaj. So that is how the first canto ends. So the first canto, in total, it describes the stories of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, and it introduces us to all the characters of Bhagavatam, and it also describes the concept of Bhakti, Bhagavan, and so many exalted examples like Bhishma Dev, Kunti Maharani, like that, and Sambhoga, Vipralamba. All these were introduced in the first canto. That is like setting the stage, right? A prelude, an introduction to the Bhagavatam. Next, in the second canto, some more processes are described. Ashtanga Yoga, Virat Roop, right? Sarga and Visarga, briefly, right? Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So all these are very nicely described in the second canto, with an intention to show the superiority of Krishna Bhakti to all these processes. So Bhakti is glorified everywhere. Even when other processes are being described, like Virat Roop meditation or Ashtanga Yoga, etc. So that is with an intention to glorify the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga only. Right? So at the end of first canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami. So how to live and how to leave? Right? What is the duty of a person who is living at all times, and what is the duty of a person who is supposed to die, who is about to die? So these were the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Then Sukadeva Goswami appreciates those questions. ರೈಟ್. ವರೀಯಾನೇಶತೆ ಪ್ರಶ್ನ ಕೃತೋ ಲೋಕಹಿತ ನೃಪ ಆತ್ಮವಿತ್ ಸಮ್ಮತ ಪುಂಸಾಂ ಶ್ರೋತವ್ಯಾದಿಷು ಯಃ ಪರಃ. ದ ಆನ್ಸರ್, ದ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ಯೋರ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಬಿಗ್ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್. ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಬೆನಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್ ಟು ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಪಲ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್ ವರ್ ಅಪ್ರಿಷಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಸುಖದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನೈಸ್ಲಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ರೈಟ್, ಗೃಹ ಮೇ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ನಿದ್ರಯಾ ಹರಿಯತೆ ನಕ್ತಂ ವ್ಯವಾಯೇನ ಚ ವಾಯವಯ ದಿವಾಚಾರ್ತೆ ಹಯರಾಜನ್ ಕುಟುಂಬ ಭರಣೇನ ವ. ಸೊ ಸಮ್ ಗೃಹ ಮೇ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್, ಥೌಸಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಅದರ್ ದನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಚಾಂಟ್, ನಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ವೈ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಚಾಂಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ರೈಟ್. ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಹರಿ, ರೈಟ್. ಶ್ರೋತವ್ಯ ಕೀರ್ತಿತವ್ಯಸ್ತು ಸ್ಮರ್ತವ್ಯ ಇಚ್ಛತ ಅಭಯಂ. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಚಾಂಟೆಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಹರ್ಡ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಷ್ಟಾಂಗ ಯೋಗ, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಯಮ, ನಿಯಮ, ಆಸನ, ಪ್ರಾಣಾಯಾಮ, ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾಹಾರ. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಬೇಸಿಕ್ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸಸ್, ರೈಟ್, ಪ್ರಿಲಿಮಿನರಿ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಅಷ್ಟಾಂಗ ಯೋಗ. ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ಟು ಫಾಲೋ. ಅಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಒನ್ ರೀಚಸ್ ಟು ದ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾಹಾರ, ಇಫ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಮೋರ್, ರೈಟ್, ಇಫ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಟಿವ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್, ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ ಎ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಯೋಗಿ. ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾಹಾರ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಎಂಟರ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಧಾರಣ. ಸೊ ಫಾರ್ ಎನ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಎ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಯೋಗಿ, ರೈಟ್, ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದ ಧಾರಣ ಆಶ್ರಯ, ದ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ್. ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ್ ಈಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎ ಕಾನ್ಸೆಪ್ಚುಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ದ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ರೈಟ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಎನರ್ಜೆಟಿಕ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಎನರ್ಜೆಟಿಕ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಎನರ್ಜೆಟಿಕ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್. ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಎ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಈಸ್ ಎನ್ಕರೇಜ್ಡ್ ಟು ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಸೀಸ್ ದ ಮೌಂಟೈನ್, ಹಿ ಸೀಸ್ ಓ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಬೋನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಸೀಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರೀಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಹೇರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ಸ್, ಹಿ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಧಾರಣ ಆಶ್ರಯ, ದ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಯೋಗಿ. ಫಾರ್ ಎನ್ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಕಲ್ಟಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಹಿ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್. ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದ ಧಾರಣಾಶ್ರಯ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ. ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಧಾರಣ. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್, ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಜಾಯಿನ್ ದಿಸ್, ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಧಾರಣ ಪಾರ್ಟ್. ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಈವನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗೋಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಫೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ರಮ ಮುಕ್ತಿ, ರೈಟ್. ಹಿ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ವೈಶ್ವಾನರ ಲೋಕ, ದೆನ್ ಶಿಶುಮಾರ ಲೋಕ, ದೆನ್ ಮಹರ್ ಲೋಕ, ದೆನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಲೋಕ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಪಿಯರ್ಸಸ್ ದಿ ಕವರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸ್ಲೋಲಿ ಹಿ ಅಟೈನ್ಸ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಕ್ರಮ ಮುಕ್ತಿ, ಗ್ರಾಜ್ಯುವಲ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಬೈ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಒನ್ ಲೋಕ ಟು ಅನದರ್ ಲೋಕ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಯೋಗಿ ಆರ್ ದ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಯೋಗಿ, ಮೆಚ್ಯೂರ್ ಯೋಗಿ, ಸೊ ಹೂ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಸೊ ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಧ್ಯಾನ, ದೆನ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಅಟೈನ್ಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಮೀಡಿಯಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಷಟ್ ಚಕ್ರ ಯೋಗ, ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಷ್ಟಾಂಗ ಯೋಗ ವಿತ್ ಸಮ್ ಸಬ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ಸಬ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರೀಸ್, ರೈಟ್. ದಿಸ್ ಅಷ್ಟಾಂಗ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಟೂ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಸುಖದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆನ್ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ವೇಸ್, ರೈಟ್, ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಲಿಂಬ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟರಿ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಡಿಮಿಗಾಡ್ ಸ್ಟೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಲಿಂಬ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ನೈಸ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು. ಅಂಡ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ದ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಷ್ಟಾಂಗ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಧಾರಣಾಶ್ರಯ, ದಿ ವಿರಾಟ್ ರೂಪ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ the best path is something different from this path, Ashtanga Yoga path. Because there are so many other people also sitting in the audience, to make a presentation appealing to them, he spoke a little bit of Ashtanga Yoga also. But ultimately, that is not the ultimate, that is not his opinion. That is not Sukadeva Goswami's opinion that Ashtanga Yoga is the best path. His opinion is Bhakti Yoga. Not only my opinion, Brahmaji, it's the verdict of Brahma also. Right? Bhakti is the best path. Right? Nahyatonya Shiva Pantha Vishata Samsurtaviha Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Yato Bhavet. Nahyatonya Shiva Pantha. There is no other auspicious path than Bhakti Yoga. So this is the verdict of Brahma also. Bhagavan Brahma Karsnena Trinan Vikshamanishaya. After studying the Vedic literature three times, Brahmaji came to this conclusion that Bhakti is the best path. So he explained Ashtanga Yoga and then he gave his conclusion that Bhakti Yoga is the best. And what is that Bhakti? Tasma Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Srotavya Kirtitavyasya Smartavyo Bhagavan Rinam. So that Bhakti Yoga consists of Srotavyaha, hearing about Krishna. Kirtitavyaha, glorifying Krishna. Smartavyaha, remembering Krishna. So these are the main limbs of Bhakti Yoga. That is how one has to perform Bhakti Yoga. Hear, glorify and remember the Lord. And he gives the benefits of Bhakti Yoga. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamrutam shravana puteshu samrutam punanti te vishaya vidushitasayam vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. The benefits of Bhakti Yoga are punantite vishaya vidushita asayam, means the polluted aim of life, which is for sense gratification, that is purified by performing Bhakti Yoga. And vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam, one will be able to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the result of Bhakti Yoga. That's how he concludes the second chapter, right? Then he discusses briefly about demigod worship. Right, this demigod worship is also described with an intention to glorify Bhakti Yoga only. Right, he gives a big list. You can see in that Subodhini, that second chapter, third chapter, beginning verses. Right, if you have this desire, you can worship this demigod. If you have this desire, worship this demigod. Right, if you want wealth, so and so demigod. So he gives address. Right, whom to go. After saying all this, whatever may be your desire, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Right? So whatever may be your desire, worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. So he was giving the process of Ashtanga Yoga, but he is not recommending Ashtanga Yoga. He is explaining the process of demigod worship, he is not recommending. End is Krishna Bhakti is glorified. So all the processes on the Vedic landscape are explained by Sukadeva Goswami with an intention to show the superiority of Bhakti Yoga. The first three chapters are nothing but explaining the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over many other processes available, spiritual processes. Then the sages become very eager to hear more, right? Then the sages give a limb by limb description of a person who doesn't hear Krishna Katha, right? An animalistic person. He may wear a big turban, but that is only making his head heavy only, right? If he doesn't hear Krishna Katha, that is useless, right? He may have good hearing capacity, but that is compared to snake hole. Right? He may be speaking eloquently, but that speaking is compared to croaking of a frog. Right? If he doesn't hear Krishna Katha. Like that they give a limb by limb description of a person who is not interested in Krishna Katha. He is an animalistic person. Then they request the Lord, they request Suta Goswami. The Naimisharanya sages request Suta Goswami to speak more. Basically, Suta Goswami is explaining the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Now, camera went to Suta Goswami, right? That whole discussion happened between them. Then, Suta Goswami continues to describe what Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami discussed. So, when Parikshit Maharaj asked that question, then Sukadeva Goswami described what is to be heard, what is not to be heard. Sukadeva Goswami very nicely described everything. Right? What is to be heard, what is not to be heard. And he also discusses other processes also. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks more details. I want to know about Sarga, the creation of the Lord. Then Sukadeva Goswami remembers, I have not offered prayers only. He asked a question and then I started giving the answer. And I have to offer prayers also, right? Then Sukadeva Goswami offered prayers. Tasmai Subhadra Sravasaya Namo Naha, the very nice, wonderful series of prayers, right? You can see in the second canto, fourth chapter. Then, the fourth chapter is filled with these questions only, these prayers of Sukadeva Goswami to the Lord before answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. So, to describe, to answer the question of Parikshit Maharaj about Sarga, Sukadeva Goswami quotes a conversation between Narada Muni and Narada Muni and Brahmaji. Right? So Narada Muni asks some questions to our Brahmaji in the fifth chapter beginning. There are six questions. Yad Rupam, right? Yad Adhishtanam, right? Yad Srishtam, Yad Samstam, Yad Param, and Yatcha. These are the six questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Brahmaji. What does they mean? Because Parikshit Maharaj asked a question about Sarga, creation of the Lord. So, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating an incident that conversation happened between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. So, Narada Muni asked six questions about Sarga, about the creation. First, Yad Rupam. What are the symptoms or characteristics of the universe? Yad Adhishtanam. What is the shelter of this universe? Three, Yat Samstam, how is this universe created? Four, Yatasrishtam is the third question. Yat Samstam is how is it conserved? Or where does it merge into at the time of annihilation? This is the fourth question. Fifth question is, it is depending on whom? What is the dependence of this universe? Yat Param. Yatcha means what is it composed of? What are the various ingredients of this universe? So these are the six questions asked by Narada Muni to Brahmaji. Then Brahmaji says, and Narada Muni also had some questions. It seems that you are the, I always thought that you are the supreme person and you are the creator, and but you are meditating on someone. Is there someone beyond you also? That is his question, right? Then Brahmaji clarifies, I am not the creator. I recreate what has already been created by the Lord. He does Sarga, I do Visarga, right? One V is additional in my profile. I do secondary creation, he does the primary creation, like that. So, and he answers these questions one by one. First, he answers about Yadrupam, the characteristics of the universe, right, the symptoms of the universe. So, this universe is, it came into being by Dravya, ingredients, material ingredients, Kala, Karma, Svabhava, and Jiva. So, material ingredients are there, Jiva Shakti is there, and Kala, time factor is there within this universe. And the Svabhava means the nature of the living entity, and Karma, his fruitive work. So these two are belonging to the Jiva. So all these five are nothing but Vasudeva. So Vasudeva only, you know, expands into all these five. How it is, we will discuss in the second canto details. But in one word, characteristics of the universe, if you have to say, that is Vasudeva only. Vasudeva is only all this. All the Dravya is Vasudeva only. And what is the shelter or the basis of this universe? Yad Adhishtanam and Yad Param. Two questions. He answers by saying Narayana. Narayana Paro Veda, Narayana Paragati, Narayana Param Jnanam, Narayana Parantapaha. So this Tapa, Gati, Jnana, Yoga, Mukha, Makha, then Loka, all these are nothing but Narayana. So Narayana is the shelter of this universe. Narayana is the basis of this universe. He says that. Then Yata Srishtam. How this universe is created? So first he explains, there are two kinds of srishti, Karana Srishti and Karya Srishti. Karana Srishti is this process we will discuss now. Mahavishnu is there. Mahavishnu is the Karanaranavasai Vishnu, who sleeps on the causal ocean, right? So he glances on the material nature, right? At the universal annihilation, all the universes get merged into Mahavishnu's body, right? So he, when he breathes out, or when he glances on the merged universes, his glance contains Kala, Karma, and Svabhava. Right? So Kala means time. Karma and Svabhava are the fruitive activities and the nature of different Jivas. Means basically he's injecting Jiva Shakti. So Jivas and Kala Shakti, they are injected into the material nature. Or Pradhana. Pradhana is the seed form of the universe. So in this Pradhana, three modes are not yet active, right? They are in a unmixed or undifferentiated state, right? They are not in, they are not totally active. So when Lord glances and infuses Jiva Shakti and Kala Shakti within this Pradhana, that transforms into Mahatattva. How do they look like? Don't ask me. I never saw. But they are like transformations of the seed form of the material universe. Then Pradhana transforms into Mahatattva. And in Mahatattva, modes start, you know, getting visible. Right? Mahatattva has two aspects. Mahatattva in Sattvaguna and Sutra Tattva in Rajoguna. These are the two aspects. And the third aspect is Ahankara, which comes from Mahatattva, which is predominantly in Tamas. Right? So that Tamas, which is predominant, that Ahankara which is in Tamas, that again manifests into three modes. Right? So the goodness aspect of Ahankara produces demigods, right, and mind and sense devatas, right? These are the products of Ahankara in mode of goodness, Sattvic Ahankara. Then there is Rajasic Ahankara. So from that comes Prana Shakti of the living entities and the 10 senses and the intelligence. And from the Tamasic Ahankara, or the Ahankara in mode of ignorance, comes the Dravya. Right, Dravya Shakti means all the 5 elements of the universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the 5 tanmatras are the sense objects, all of them come. So at this stage of creation, there are so many elements, 23 elements, right? So mind, intelligence, and this 5 gross elements, and then the senses, right? And all the tanmatras. So all these are there, ingredients of the universe, 23. But they were not mixed with each other. 5 elements are there. Earth is separate. Water is separate, air is separate, right? In our body, body is a combination of all these 5. At that time, in the beginning of the creation, all of them are separate, right? So that is the stage at which, that is the stage of Karana Srishti, right? Then there is Karya Srishti. These 23 elements like Mahatattva, Ahankara, 5 Tanmatras, 5 gross elements and 11 senses, which are in unmixed state, they start mixing with each other. Assembly happens by Lord's Maya Shakti. Lord again induces his Kala Shakti so that the assembly of this will may happen. Right? A sabji may be there. You cut the sabji. Then there is whatever the different spices that you put and the masala or whatever. So there are different ingredients. They are not mixed. So you know you cannot eat that. Right? You cannot eat carrot separately and then mirchi separately and whatever all the kadi, patta, salt, ginger, vagaira, that separately we can't eat. So they have to be mixed and put in a presentable format. So at that beginning stages, at the stage of Karana Srishti, the universe was not in a presentable format. All these elements are in an unmixed state. Because of Lord's Shakti, Kali Shakti, the cohesive energy has to enter. Then the assembly of these elements happen and a beautiful universe, which is supposed to be inhabited by all the living entities, will be created. Right? So that is the Karya Srishti. From where assembly takes place, that is called Karya Srishti. So after 1,000 years of inactivity within the universe, when the assembly is happening, then Mahavishnu enters each of the universe. Now so far, the previous chat we have discussed, that is till one universe is formed. So like that, there are millions of universes. There is only one Mahavishnu. From one Mahavishnu, there are millions of universes coming. And that Mahavishnu expands himself and enters each and every universe as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Right? There is one Mahavishnu and there are as many Garbhodaka Sai Vishnus as the number of universes. Right? So Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters. Then he expands himself into Virat Roop. Basically, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only manifests the details of this universe, right, through the medium of Brahma, right? So this universal form or universe, this whole structure, that is nothing but that's non-different from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's body. That's how it is explained. So all these three Vishnus, they are super souls. We'll discuss more tomorrow. So Mahavishnu is the super soul of the entire material creation. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of this one universe. And Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of every living entity, right? Every atom. So that is Yata Srishtam is answered. How is it created? Then Yatcha, what are the ingredients of the universe, right? That will be answered next. So Lord is the material cause and effective cause of the universe, or Lord is the source of all the ingredients. When Brahmaji was trying to manifest the details of the universe, 14 planetary systems and all, so Brahmaji would collect the ingredients from Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu's body, and then make the universe. How does it happen? We can only understand from the pages of Bhagavatam, right? We may not be able to imagine completely, right? We should keep faith on that Bhagavatam. So it seems too technical, right? So now we have spent maximum half an hour to understand second canto. When you spend a lot of time, maybe a month or two, then things will be more clear. So that's how Brahmaji answers the 6 questions of Narada Muni. Next, Brahmaji explains the Leela Avataras of the Lord. So how the Lord manifests himself as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, and all these forms, Brahmaji explains. And Krishna's pastime specifically, Brahmaji explains more elaborately. Right? So that is like another zip file, the preview of 10th canto. So 10th canto, in a condensed form, is described twice before 10th canto arrives. One is by Brahmaji here, in the 7th chapter of 2nd canto, and one is in the 3rd canto, Uddhava describes in 2 chapters, all Krishna's pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka and Vrindavan, all that. So what is the importance of these creation pastimes? By discussing so much about material nature, one will not be bewildered by Maya. That is the purpose of why this whole creation process is taking place in Bhagavatam. Within Bhagavatam, why there is so much description like this? Because by discussing about this Maya, one will develop detachment from Maya. One will develop an impetus to come out of this complicated structure of material creation by understanding, oh my God, false ego is the source of this entire material creation, right? And I am in this material creation only because of false ego. Let me try to give up this false ego and then come out of this material nature. Like that. And one will not be bewildered by Maya. That is the importance of describing this creation pastimes. So finally he says, now you should preach. So Brahmaji explained the details of the creation process to Narada Muni. So now you preach. So that living entities come out of this material world. Like that. Then, basically, why this whole conversation of Brahma and Narada came? Because Parikshit Maharaj asked the question about Sarga to Sukadeva Goswami. Then Sukadeva Goswami quoted this conversation. Now, again, back to Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj's conversation. In the 8th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asks so many questions, to maybe more than 20 questions, to Sukadeva Goswami. So, the answers of these questions form the rest of Bhagavatam, more or less, right? The answers to these questions come in different cantos at different places. And similar questions are asked by Vidura to Maitreya also in the 3rd canto. 3rd canto, 7th chapter. So one question is about the relationship between the body and the soul, right? So body is totally material. Soul is completely spiritual. How come they are related? That was the question, right? So the answer is, yeah, there is no relation. Definitely, it's unreal. This relation is very unnatural. The relation between the body and the soul, when the soul is identifying oneself with the body, that is totally unnatural. That happens only because of Maya. It's like a dream, right? In the dream, one sees that one head is cut off. One's head is cut off. If one's head is cut off, how can you see? Right? That is the question. That comes in the 3rd canto. I'm just revealing now only. So if one's head is cut off, he has no ability to see, but he's seeing. How is it happening? That is happening only in dream. Only in a dream one can see that one's head is cut off. In reality, if one's head is cut off, he has no ability to see only. Right? Similarly, only because of our illusion, only because of this ahammamethi concept, there is a relationship existing between body and the soul. Otherwise, there is no relation. Right? If when the soul is surrendered to Krishna and performing devotional service to Krishna, his connection with body is like, has no meaning. He's always in his own world. Right? All the great acharyas, they are having their siddha deha. Right? They were having pastimes with Krishna. They are participating in the pastimes of Krishna. So all this we hear, right? So when, as long as the material identity and false ego and that illusion is there, there is some connection between soul and body. Otherwise, there is no connection. That is not factual. Like that. That is explained here. Then he also explains this Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Right? So in the beginning of the creation, so now we have discussed how Mahavishnu, from Mahavishnu's body, so many universes are coming out, right? And Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters. So once Garbhodaksha Vishnu entered, so from his navel, this lotus flower comes up, and then that lotus flower, Brahmaji takes birth, and then he hears tapa, tapa, means austerities. So Brahmaji performs austerities. Then he gets the darshan of Mahavaikuntha. Then he gets the vision of the Lord, and he asks question to the Lord. Then the Lord answers. The questions are, my dear Lord, I want to know about your material and spiritual forms. Second, I want to know how your various energies are working. Third question, I want to know about Lord's pastimes in relation to his energies. Fourth question, I want some guidance in executing my service of creation. It's not a question, basically, it's a question asked in the form of a request. These four questions are the seed questions for Chatushloki. In response to these four questions, the Lord answers him. Chatushloki 1. Aham eva asam eva agre. First question is what? I want to know about material and spiritual forms of the Lord, right? So, Lord's spiritual form existed before creation also. Right? And he manifested this material creation. And during the creation phase also, Lord's spiritual form is existing. And after this universe gets annihilated also, Lord's spiritual form exists. Right? This universe is the material form of the Lord, and Lord has a spiritual form separately. Right? That is about Lord's spiritual and material forms. Clear? I'm just giving the basic essence. Then second question, how the Lord's various energies are working? Then very briefly, Lord explains the activities of Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Right? So Yogamaya is binding, Yogamaya is conducting the pastimes of the Lord, Mahamaya is binding the conditioned souls. These activities are described. Then third question is Lord's pastimes in connection with this, with his energies. So in pastimes related to the material world, Lord remains detached. And in pastimes connected with the spiritual world, Lord is attached. That is the Lord's relationship. Right? Relation between Lord and his energies. Then finally, the fourth is a request. How can I do my service nicely? So bhakti. If you perform bhakti yoga, then all the lethargy and pride will be removed and one will be able to do his service nicely. So this is how Lord answers the four questions of Brahma. And these four answers of the Lord are the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Right? So it needs a lot of time to discuss and go deep into it. This is an overview class. Then in the 10th chapter, we have the description of the 10 topics of Bhagavatam. Sarga, Visarga, Sthana, Poshana, Houti, Manvantara, Ishanagata, Nirodha, Mukti, Ashraya. So that are briefly discussed in the 10th canto, 10th chapter of 2nd canto, last chapter. So Sarga is at the beginning of Brahmaji's life and Visarga is at the beginning of Brahmaji's day, secondary creation, right? So now, here about Padma Kalpa, that's how Parikshit Maharaj says. Then suddenly, Sukadeva Goswami, suddenly camera shifts to Suta Goswami and Naimisharanya sages conversation. Right? So Naimisharanya sages ask, oh, in first canto 13th chapter you spoke about Vidura. We want to know more about Vidura Maitreya Samvad. So Vidura went to Hastinapur and enlightened Dhritarashtra. Before that, he was meeting Maitreya. What did he hear about him? Then the third canto begins. Right, so third canto highlights are Uddhava, Vidura, Maitreya. There is some conversation in the first four chapters, and the Sarga and Visarga are described, and Varahadeva's episodes and the description of Vaikuntha, then Manu, Devahuti, Kardama, that episode is there, and Lord Kapila's teachings, these are all described. So in the beginning only, Parikshit Maharaj asks about, when Suta Goswami was asked by Saunakadi Rishis about Vidura Maitreya Samvad, Suta Goswami quotes the conversation between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. Because Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami also discussed about Vidura Maitreya Samvad. Like that. So Parikshit Maharaj asks, I want to know about Vidura Maitreya Samvad. Nahi alpaarthodayastasya vidurasya malatmanah tasmin variyeshi prashna sadhuvadopu brumhita. So, nahi alpa arthodayastasya. The discussion that happened between Vidura and Maitreya is not for any meager purpose. Right? Sadhuvadopu brumhita. All the great sadhus approved that. They considered that this is very good conversation. Right? Tasmin variyeshi prashna. All this, our Vidura asked such beautiful questions to Maitreya, and the answers to them are very beautiful. I want to know about it. Like that. So, the backstory of Vidura comes. So, Vidura was giving good advice to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, and Duryodhan became very angry. He insulted, who asked this son of cup mistress to come here and give us advice? He is in favor of our enemies, Pandavas. Right? That is not good. I will just leave his breath in his body, and then he is supposed to just leave. Then Vidura just leaves the bow there and then goes out of Hastinapur. Right? And he goes for a pilgrimage. In the pilgrimage, he meets Uddhava. Then Vidura asks so many questions to Uddhava. Then Uddhava remembers all the beautiful activities of Krishna. Right? This entire Vrindavan Leela and Dwaraka Leela, they are all, Mathura Leela, they are all described by Uddhava. Right? Uddhava was also in separation because just some time back this Maushali Leela happened. Right? So, and Uddhava at the end of his description, he reveals to Vidura that, my dear Vidura, this is what has happened to Yadus. There was a fight between Yadus and then Krishna also disappeared from this planet. So, Yadu's annihilation is very briefly described in this third canto. Then, Vidura also discusses that I met Krishna before he departed. Right? At that time, Maitreya Muni was also there. So, Vidura, the meeting between Krishna, Maitreya and Vidura was discussed. Right? Was revealed to Vidura. At the end of this whole conversation, Vidura says that I want to become your disciple. Then, Uddhava says that you are a very elderly person. I can't do Maryada Vithikram by becoming your guru. So better you go to Maitreya and hear from him. And then Vidura goes, proceeds to Badrikashram. And Vidura goes to Maitreya. Because when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, then Maitreya was also there, hearing whatever Krishna taught. Krishna taught about his Paramam Sthitim, the transcendental situation of Krishna. Right? All that Maitreya also heard. So, Vidura meets Maitreya and then asks question. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Daivat Adharma Silasya Sudukhitasya Anugrahayeha Charantinonam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardhanasya. So, my dear Vidura, my dear Maitreya, you are very compassionate to living entities. The travelings of great souls is only to deliver the people, right? So, I have traveled so much and I came to you. So, please, describe to me about the Purushavataras, about Virat Rupa, about Leelavataras, about the living conditions of people in different planets, about different living creatures. All this you have to describe to me. And he did not directly ask about some esoteric Leelas of Krishna, because Vidura himself was thinking that I am not qualified to hear the esoteric pastimes of Krishna. Let me first begin with Srishti Leela. Right? First Srishti Leela, then Rasa Leela. Right, so Vidura also asks about the creation. Then, whatever we have discussed in the second canto will come up again here. So Maitreya Muni also discusses the process of creation. Mahavishnu glancing with Kala, Karma, Swabhava. Then he impregnates material nature. Then Mahatattva, Ahankara and these 23 elements manifesting. All these are very nicely described by Maitreya also in the third canto. So after, now, after that, after this whole creation chart, we went into different discussion in the second canto. But here, some more details are given. After the 23 elements manifested at the end of this chart, right? Mahavishnu's glance and 23 elements manifested. Then, all the devatas, presiding deities of all these elements, they offer prayers to Mahavishnu. Right? Oh, my dear Lord, you have created us 23 elements. Now we are in an unmixed state. Unless that cohesion happens between us, we will not be able to serve you. Right? That, what is their service? To unite with each other and then manifest the bodies of various living entities and the details of all this universe, and then give an opportunity to the conditioned soul to exercise his conditioned mentality, enjoying propensity. That is their service. But now they are in an unmixed state. Earth is not mixed with water, right? They are not mixed with fire, air, ether, etc. So they are in a different state. So please allow us to serve you by sending your cohesive energy and allowing us to mix with each other. It's getting too technical. You're able to follow, right? So, and as a part of their prayers, they offer one of these prayers is this: Marganti yatte mukhapadmani idai chandai suparnai rishayo vivikte yasyaghamarshoda saridvaraya padam padam tirthapadah papanna. So, we will not go into the details now. So, he will go to all these presiding deities of all these elements offer beautiful prayers to the Lord. Next, the creation proceeds further. In response to the prayers of all these demigods, Mahavishnu sends his cohesive energy. That is called Kali Shakti or Kala Shakti. So because of the medium of that cohesive energy, the amalgamation between all these elements happen. That we have discussed in the second canto. So this is the whole process, right? So after this, after describing the all details of creation, Maitri Muni says, actually, I don't know the details of creation. Whatever I know, I have shared with you. Because this, whatever details he has shared with us, that itself is little difficult for our brains to assimilate. And he himself says that, actually, I don't know much about Lord's material energy. But still, I'm glorifying, because if I don't do that, my power of speech will become unchaste. Tathapi kirtayam yanga yathamati yathashrutam kirtim harer swam satkartum giram anyabhida asatim. My power of speech will remain unchaste if I don't employ it in glorifying the Lord. And that glorification of the Lord is the only highest perfectional grain of humanity. Ekantalabham vachasonupumsam sushloka mauler gunavadamahu srutescha vidvadhirupakritayam kathasuthayam upasamprayogam. Ekantalabham, the one and only perfectional gain of humanity is to discuss Krishna Katha. So shloka mauler, gunavadamahu. Like that. So that's how he discusses the details of creation and ends like this. At this point, Vidura asks so many questions to Maitreya Muni. First he asks about the Lord's connection with modes. Lord is so pure, how can he be connected with the modes? Because Mahavishnu is glancing and all these modes are manifesting, right? How is he connected with the modes? Then Maitreya Muni says, if someone says that Lord is connected to the modes, that is against all logic. He is beyond modes. He is transcendental. How can he be connected with modes? Right? He is not connected to the modes. He is just manifesting the modes to run the material creation. He is not influenced by the modes. He is not contaminated by the modes. That is one thing. Then how is Jiva entangled? Jiva is spiritual. Right? How is Jiva entangled in this Maya? Answer is only because of misidentification. We have seen, right, that head cut off. One can see that only in the dream. That is only because of misidentification. Jiva is misidentifying himself with this body. That is the only reason why he is in his body. As soon as he starts identifying himself as servant of Krishna, and I have no connection with this body which is made of gross material elements, then he is in service of Krishna. Like that. So, later, Maitreya, Vidura expresses his gratitude to Maitreya. Oh, Maitreya Muni, you have explained it very nicely. Now I have got the knowledge from you. But this knowledge will convert into realization only when I do service to you. By studying the scripture or by hearing the scriptures, we get a lot of knowledge. Right? That's more or less on an intellectual platform. But for that knowledge to convert into realization, for that knowledge to become assimilated in one's heart, right, and manifest in one's character and all, one needs to do service. Right? That's what Vidura explains to Maitreya. Right? If I serve pure souls like you, then I will be able to realize this knowledge. Now I understood the concepts. Then Vidura continues to ask so many questions like that. So there is a big list of questions, some 20-30 questions. Next, In response to those questions, in the 8th chapter of 3rd canto, Maitreya Muni says, Soham ranam kshulla sukhaya dukkham mahadgatanam viramayatasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. So, in response to your questions, my dear Vidura, I will speak Bhagavatam, which is spoken by Lord, right? Lord Sankarsana spoke to Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar spoke to Sankhyayana Muni. Sankhyayana Muni spoke to Parashar and Brihaspati. And then Parashar Muni spoke to Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni is speaking to Vidura. That is another line, disciplic succession. So, I will speak that for the mitigation of the miseries of this conditioned souls, who are undergoing tremendous amount of distress to get a meager amount of happiness. Right? So then he discusses further. So what happened after creation? So first, Mahavishnu created this material universe. Right? The cohesive energy happened and the universe also formed. Right? And Lord entered inside that universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So then, and within the universe, at the day of Brahma, at the end of the day of Brahma, universal annihilation happens. Annihilation happens two times. One is at the end of life of Brahma, entire universe merges into Mahavishnu's body. And at the end of day of Brahma, the details of within the universe merge into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's body. Right? So that is another. So he took one typical day. On one day, when the reawakening of creation has to happen, so at the end of the day of Brahma, at the night of Brahma, universe was withdrawn into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's body. So when the day begins, so Brahmaji starts. So Brahmaji offers prayers. So Brahmaji takes birth on the lotus feet, a lotus coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he offers beautiful prayers to the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then the creation proceeds. There are 10 types of creation. 6 types of creation are called Sarga. There are 6 types of Sarga. They are called Prakrita creation. They are coming from the Lord. Right? So this Mahatattva, Ahankara, Tanmatras, all the senses, then the demigods, and the Avidya Shakti, ignorance, all these are creations of the Lord. And there is Vaikrita creation, means what Brahmaji creates. So Brahmaji creates the immovable Jivas, then the lower species and human beings. So these are all the creations of Brahmaji. Not the soul. Brahmaji doesn't create the soul. Brahmaji creates the bodies of the soul. Then there is a mixed creation, demigods. For example, 4 Kumaras are there. They are born of Brahma, so they are a part of secondary creation. And they are born by Brahma because of what? Because of his meditation on Krishna. Thus, they are part of primary creation also. Whatever comes from the Lord directly is called primary creation. Whatever comes from Brahmaji is called secondary creation. So 4 Kumaras are a part of both. They are mixed creation. Prakrita and Vaikrita. Sarga and Visarga, both. So Prakrita and Vaikrita are two other terminologies of Sarga and Visarga only. Right? Then the calculation of time from atom, that is described. Then Brahmaji creation proceeds. First, Brahmaji creates the software. Right? For all these living entities to suffer in this material world, we need to create nisayans. Moha, Mahamoha, Tamah, then Tamishra, Andha Tamishra. So that kind of, 5 kinds of nisayans he creates. Right? Then 4 Kumaras he creates later. Then Rudra he creates. Then all the sages, Vedas, Upavedas, Manu, Shatarupa, all this he just creates. Right? These are all the creations of Brahma that are discussed in the 12th chapter of 3rd canto. Then, actually, when Brahma created 4 Kumaras and asked them, you create, you further procreate and then increase the population of the universe. Brahmaji is in a mission of populating the universe. Right? That is his creation. So he wanted 4 Kumaras to do it. 4 Kumaras said, we want to become Brahmacharis, we can't get into this. Right? Then Brahmaji understood their exalted desire, but still he was agitated because he was disappointed. From that anger, Rudra came. Then Brahmaji told Rudra, you start creating. Then Rudra creates. And Rudra's whatever specialization, area of specialization is destruction. So in the creation phase, Rudra was asked to create. And his flavor of creation is destruction. And he created so many people and they started devouring all the universe. Then Brahmaji said, you and your followers go and then do some meditation, right? I will take care of the creation process. Then he created the sages. And sages started creating and the creation was not progressing at a faster pace. Then Brahmaji contemplated. From his contemplation, Shatarupa and Manu came. Then Manu said, I am at your disposal. So whatever service you want me to do, I will do. Then Brahmaji said, you create. Then Manu said, where am I supposed to stay? You stay on the earthly planet. Then at that time, earthly planet was immersed in this ocean. Then Brahmaji was creating. Brahmaji was contemplating. What happened to earth? It just fell into the ocean. Then Varahadev came from the nostril of Brahma and then lifted that earth. So this is the Svetavaraha incarnation in Swayambhu Manvantara. And at this point, Maitreya Muni merges another Varaha incarnation. There are two Varaha incarnations. So one is Svetavaraha incarnation that happened in Swayambhu Manvantara. So he just lifted the earth. And there is Nilavaraha incarnation which happened in Chakshusha Manvantara. There, Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha and then protected the earth. So these two are combined and then described by Maitreya in the third canto. So then there was a question, right? I want to know about the activities, know more about the activities of Varahadev and Hiranyaksha. Who is this Hiranyaksha? What is his background? So then he started giving the background. So when Diti was there, Diti was the wife of Kashyapa Prajapati. Then at a wrong time, she was desiring for a child, and then she united with Kashyapa, and that was like one scene. Another scene in the spiritual world. Once four Kumaras wanted to go to this Vaikuntha, then Jaya and Vijaya stopped them. Are your children, right? Kids cannot come, right? So kids cannot come here. This is a very serious place, Vaikuntha. Then whenever some kids are stopped to enter some place, they become angry, right? They cry. But these kids don't cry. They curse. So these four Kumaras cursed Jaya Vijaya. You become demons. Then these two, Jaya and Vijaya, entered the womb of Diti. Right? And they became Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So then they grew so large, and Hiranyaksha started, you know, destroying the entire universe and all. Then Varahadev came and then he fought. Actually, Hiranyaksha was looking for a proper combat. He went to Varunadev. Varunadev said, I cannot play with you. I cannot fight with you. I am an old person. You better go and fight with Varahadev. Then he went to Varahadev and then there was a fight like that. So, when actually why this description came is, when this Jaya and Vijaya entered the womb of Diti, there was a lot of darkness created in the universe. The universe is getting imbalanced. All the demigods went to Brahmaji and then asked, my dear Brahmaji, what is the cause of this darkness in the universe? Then Brahmaji gave this background of the spiritual world and the curse of four Kumaras to Jaya and Vijaya, and all that background he gave. Then that Jaya Vijaya entered this womb of Diti, and now we can't do much, right? We just have to wait till Lord takes some action, right? So the solution, demigods went to Brahmaji to ask for a solution. The solution he gave is, he just spoke two chapters of Krishna Katha and then said, let's wait till Lord takes some action. So Lord took the form of Varahadev and then took action on Hiranyaksha. Then Brahmaji's further creation is described in the 20th chapter. Then Swayambhu Manu started creating. Swayambhu Manu is the first Manu, Brahmaji's son. So Swayambhu Manu has three daughters and two sons. Three daughters are Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti. Then two sons are Uttanapada, Priyavrata. Right? So from this point of third canto till the middle of fifth canto, there is a description of the descendants of these five people. The descendants of Devahuti, descendants of Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada and Priyavrata. Right? So yeah, these are all the places. In the rest of the third canto and the first chapter of fourth canto, Devahuti's descendants are described. Then Akuti's descendants are described in the first chapter of fourth canto. Prasuti's descendants are described in the first seven chapters of fourth canto, Daksha episode. Then Uttanapada's descendants are Dhruva, Prachina Parishat, Prithu, etc. They are discussed in the 4th canto, 8th chapter till the end. Then 5th canto, first half, is the descendants of Priyavrata. So this is the overview of middle of 3rd canto till middle of 5th canto. So coming, first we will begin with Devahuti. This red block is what we are discussing now. Devahuti. Devahuti was the dear daughter of Swayambhumanu. So once Kardama Muni was performing austerities, right? He was ordered by his father Brahmaji, you should create. Then he was performing austerities for the Lord, right, on the bank of this Bindu Sarovar. Then the Lord manifested and then said, in 3 days, Swayambhu Manu will come with his daughter, Shatarupa, and then offer to you, right, Devahuti. So you can accept her. So he was looking for some, for wife, right, for a good match. Then Lord only had arranged that, right. So then after some time, as predicted by the Lord, Swayambhu Manu, then Shatarupa come with their daughter Devahuti and offer the daughter to Kardama Muni. Although she is the daughter of such a exalted king, still she had the simplicity and humility to accept a sage who was living in the forest as husband and serve him with so many qualities. Vishrambhena, Atma Samuchena, Shemena, Damena. These are all the qualities manifested by Devahuti. So a disciple in his service to the Lord, in his service to his spiritual master, can take inputs from Devahuti's character, how she served her husband, like that. So Devahuti was offered and she was doing so many services. So at one point, Devahuti was very emaciated because of rendering so many services and not caring for her body also, right? So Kardama Muni calls, I'm very pleased with your service, right? What do you want? Then she says, I want progeny. So then Kardama Muni creates a palace, right? Flying palace. And then Kardama Muni tells Devahuti, you take bath in this sarovar, right? And she becomes like a very beautiful, well-decorated lady and then comes out. And then Kardama Muni and Devahuti board on this airplane and then they travel in different places. And then they enjoy. And after that, there were 9 daughters. 9 daughters of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Then she got progeny. And then Kardama Muni was leaving. That was the condition. When Swayambhu Manu came to give his daughter to Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni said, after child is born, I will leave. Right? So Kardama Muni was leaving. Then Devahuti came and said, my lord, all these daughters are there. They will marry someone and then they will leave. Right? Who will take care of me? You have given me children, but you have not given me protection. You have not given me fearlessness. Right? So please do something. And I am feeling very regret that I have acted only for my sense gratification and I have not taken complete advantage of a very spiritually advanced personality like you. So then Kardama Muni stays back and then they give birth to Kapila Dev. After Kapila's birth, then when Kapila was able to take care of his mother Devahuti, then Kardama Muni leaves. Right? He goes on the path of renunciation. Then after Kardama Muni leaves, Kapila Dev, he teaches his mother. Right? He teaches his mother Sankhya philosophy. Right? So that is the rest of the 3rd canto. So I just put the entire thing in one slide. So teachings of Lord Kapila. So first Devahuti says, I am bewildered by your maya, right? So please dispel my illusion. Then Kapila Dev gives the process of Adhyatmika Yoga, which is consisting of Sankhya, Yoga and Bhakti. Basically, he glorifies the superiority of Bhakti. Then, what kind of Bhakti should I perform to easily attain you? That's what Devahuti asks Kapila. Then Kapila says, I recommend Bhakti beyond modes. Right, bhakti is supposed to be beyond modes. But when a person is not qualified to perform such uttama bhakti or transcendental bhakti, so he does bhakti in different other modes. So he recommends actually raganuga bhakti, but if one is not qualified for it, he can do vaidhi sadhana bhakti according to regulative principles. Initially only he may not have that feelings for the Lord, so he can do regulated bhakti. like that. Then she wanted to know about the process of jnana. Not to practice jnana, but how bhakti is superior to jnana. If I know the process of other, if I know the details of other processes, I will have better impetus to perform this superior process. With that mood, she asks about jnana and yoga. Then Kapil Dev discusses about Sankhya and all the, he enumerates all the elements, right? That is the 26th chapter. So how Jiva is there in the conditioned state, all this he describes. Then she also asks about the process of yoga. Then Kapil Dev discusses the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. And within that, there's a very beautiful description of dhyana. How one has to meditate on various limbs of the Lord, starting from lotus feet to the lotus face of the Lord. Right? Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charana Aravindam Vajrangusha Dhaja Saroruha Lanchanadyam Uttunga Rakta Virasan Naka Chakravala Jyotsnalibir Ahata Mahadhradayandhakaram. So when someone has to go and take darshan of the Lord, first he starts with the lotus feet. Then the thick gloom of darkness which is covering one's hearts will be dispelled by the power of the lotus feet of the Lord. So then slowly meditation progresses. That's a very wonderful series of verses, right? So for devotees, that is very devotional description. But for Ashtanga Yogis, that description is there. So he meditates on the limbs of the Lord. And after that, he thinks that I have to go to the next step. Right? Dhyana. After dhyana, I have to go to some other step. And then he forcefully retracts his mind. An unfortunate yogi, after meditating on these beautiful limbs of the Lord, he retracts his mind from that beautiful form and focuses on something else, liberation, like that. But a fortunate devotee, he gets attracted to this form and then continues bhakti yoga, like that. Then, and she wanted to know the path of bhakti in detail. So then Kapila Dev discusses various classes of bhakti. Actually, there is no classes of bhakti. Bhakti is not performed in different modes. So bhakti cannot be called tamasic bhakti, rajasic bhakti, sattvic bhakti. When bhakti is called tamasic, rajasic, sattvic, that is in relation to the practitioner. The practitioner is in mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. That's why his bhakti is like that. But bhakti cannot be influenced by modes. Bhakti is transcendental. He discusses all these points. Next, she wanted to know the nature of time. Right? He discusses the characteristics of time. And she wanted to know about the samsara of the living entities. How people are taking birth and then dying and then how they are getting tormented in this birth-death cycle. Then he very elaborately discusses in two chapters, three chapters, the sufferings of the conditioned living entity. Right? So that is how a person enters the womb of a mother and within the womb, how much she has to suffer. Right, from day one, day two, day like whatever, 9 months, 7 months. So all that description is given. And after he comes out, what all he has to undergo in this material world to get his food, butter, and then maintain a family. And after death, a person who is not a devotee, right, just leading pure karmi life. So for such a person, what will be the destination? What is his post-death experience? How he is taken to different hellish planets? On the way to hell, he experiences a lot of hellish conditions. So all these are very elaborately described by Kapil Dev. So that's how Kapil Dev's teachings end. And basically the gist or the essence of this teachings of Kapila is to practice bhakti yoga. Like that. So to enhance that understanding and to make that impetus more strong, there are various other descriptions of jnana, sankhya, then ashtanga yoga, then samsmriti, means the birth and death of living entities, all this. Then Devahuti offers beautiful prayers, right? So Devahuti prays, my Lord, this is very wonderful. You are Vatapatrashayi, in the ocean of annihilation. You are sleeping on a beautiful, on a small banyan leaf and then sucking your toe only. Basically, Krishna sucks his own toe to taste. What is the taste of my lotus feet? Why so many millions of my devotees are hankering for the taste of my lotus feet? What is there in my lotus feet? So he wants to taste it himself. And if a grown-up, whatever, Kaishora or Yavana Krishna, if he just sucks his toe, it doesn't look good, right? So Krishna takes the form of a small infant baby and then does it. When infant baby does it, nobody will bother it. Suddenly if I put my feet and my mouth, then that creates some disturbance, doubts. So she glorifies him like that. So you are the personality like that. You are the source of creation, and then you do like this, right? So you are the source of this creation and you have entered my womb, right? That is very surprising. And then later she says, it is not so surprising because on the universal inhalation waters, you are sucking your toe like this. So it is not very astonishing. So like that. She offers so many other prayers. In this only the glorification of holy name comes. Yannama dheya sravanana kirtanat yas prahvanat yas smaranat apikvachit. Right? All this come there only. Then Parikshitma, then Kapiladev departs after giving teachings and after accepting the prayers of his mother. Then Devahuti also attains perfection by following the process recommended by Kapila. So that's how the third canto ends.